Good morning, brethren.
I have a couple questions to start out my sermonette. They may seem trivial, but you'll get the gist of where I'm going. The questions are, what am I going to wear today to Sabbath services or during the weekday? What am I going to wear maybe to work? Who will I interact with or talk to throughout the day? How may I confront the coworker that had the bad or rotten attitude yesterday? Or how about, do I get gas now on my way home from work? Or maybe wait till tomorrow and hope that the price at the pump goes down a couple more cents? These questions have one thing in common with them. That is, they all come with multiple choice decisions. And the decision we choose to make on any given choice we come across in our lives can either affect or impact them greatly or just a little. Our lives, to an extent, seem to revolve around making choices. We make choices all the time, every day. They impact the values we embrace, what we experience in our lives, who our friends are, and even the quality of our relationships with our family and friends. Free choice, the right to choose, is one of the greatest gifts God has given to mankind. We are not like animals that react primarily on instinct. Human beings, made in God's image, have the ability to accept or reject any opportunity that comes our way. When we choose to make wise choices and set our hearts on accomplishing something good and right, the results can be both satisfying and rewarding. Making wise choices can even lead to greater understanding of life and of God. In contrast to this, making unwise or poor choices in our lives can be costly and even sometimes deadly. In the beginning, as we all know, God presented the first human beings, Adam and Eve, with two trees that were in the midst of the Garden of Eden. These two trees represented two very different ways of life, as read in the book of Genesis, chapters 2 through 3. God's instruction was not to take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but to take of the tree of life. And as we all know, the rest of the account of this story and the repercussions for all of humanity that ensued because of the wrong choice that were made by both Adam and Eve. My sermon today is entitled, Making Wise Choices. What I'll do is I'll go over one example in the Bible that illustrates the choice one man made and their far-reaching implications. And finally, I'll go over three key areas to keep us on the path to making wise choices in our lives. First off, I have a question for all of you. How good are your decision-making skills if you had to rate them on a scale of, say, 1 to 10? Perhaps you never realize, but the Bible is a book all about making wise choices, and I'm sure we all know this. Not only that, it's filled with examples of good and bad decisions and their outcomes. It shows good decisions based on right principles that lead to good results. It also shows how if you make emotional decisions based on anger, lust, and selfishness, you should expect and will most likely experience poor results. The Bible reveals to us a principle that applies to many areas of our life. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to Galatians 6. Galatians 6, and we'll read verse 7. Verse 7 and 8 of Galatians 6. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Now, the correlation here between reaping what we sow and making wise choices may not be obvious, but as we grow older, the results of our decisions become clearer to us. It's kind of like that old adage, hindsight is 20/20. You look back on your life, and you may have said, well, if I had known then what I know now, I would have made a different choice, a different decision. But when we're young, our actions and decisions aren't very well thought out. But as we get older, more mature, we start to see how one right or wrong choice we make can have a significant impact in our lives. And not only our lives, but the lives of those around us as well. So you see, by making wise choices, deciding to do right from wrong, we will reap good benefits. And if you take that in the opposite direction, making wrong choices will lead to bad decision-making and unfruitful outcomes in our life. Now, if you look at the Bible as a textbook on decision-making, you'll find many helpful hints inside. If you want to make right choices, you can save yourself a lot of time and trouble if you take a closer look at the examples recorded for us in God's Word. Let's all take a brief look now into the life of the first king of Israel, Saul. Saul was confronted with a dilemma when the warring Philistines threatened the nation of Israel. He felt pressured to act. The responsibility of leadership felt heavily on his shoulders. So what did he do? Saul knew he should consult the prophet Samuel. But when Samuel didn't arrive after 7 days of when Saul expected him to, Saul made a wrong decision. He chose to present an offering to God. This was something that he was not entitled to do. When Samuel did finally arrive shortly afterward, he was shocked. Let's take a look at this account now, starting in 1 Samuel 13:8. If you would turn to 1 Samuel. And it says in verse 8 here, then he, talking about Saul here, waited 7 days, according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. You see, Saul had attacked the Philistine garrison not long before this, and he won. In retaliation, the Philistines gathered to fight against Israel, but with a greater army than Saul had at his disposal. Seeing this, the people of Israel became afraid. They scattered, and they hid themselves in caves, in rocks, in pits, basically anywhere where they could be undetected by the Philistines. Continuing on in verse 9, it says, so Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened, as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering, that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him. Verse 11, and Samuel said, what have you done? Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come on me here at Gilgal. And I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled to offer a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. As we see here, Saul made a very bad decision. As a result of his wrong choices, Saul forfeited his kingship over Israel. From this point forward, Saul's life changed forever. He fell into depression, he made other wrong choices, and even attempted murder. And in the end, Saul took his own life. His decisions cost him very dearly. Now you might say to yourself, is this example relevant for us today? It may seem out of place in contrast to our modern world today, but we should keep in mind that the principles still remain the same. They still apply. Don't forget that we exist for a purpose. God created us with the potential to one day be a part of His family. So learning to make wise choices based on God's instruction is one of the primary lessons that we all need to learn. Let's take a look now at three key areas that will help lead us all to making wise choices in our lives. So key area number one would be to seek wisdom. Let's face it, making right choices is a whole lot easier when we go ahead and seek wisdom. And where do we get wisdom from? The Bible, of course. This book contains everything we need and everything that we need to know. One of the wisest men in the Bible, King Solomon, wrote in Proverbs 4:7, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom." We are constantly bombarded with options and opportunities throughout our life cycle. Learning to make wise choices when we are confronted with something is the key. If we show respect and love God and obey His laws, that will bring fundamental success in our lives. We need to make it our daily task to seek understanding and knowledge. Then and only then can we apply them to our decision-making process. This leads us to key area number two, which is to obey God. As hard as Satan makes it for us to navigate around this earth, we cannot afford to lose our main focus, which is obeying God. It is the most important decision or choice we will make besides choosing to follow in the footsteps of His Son, Jesus Christ. Both are certainly wise decisions. The reason why it's so important is because it has bearing on every aspect of our life. From what you eat, where you go, what you do, what your future holds, what you should stay away from, the list could go on and on. The physical things of this world that seem the most important to us aren't all that significant in the long run, and if you actually take a look at it. We need to remember that, brethren, and in the end, obeying and pleasing God are what should matter most in our lives. That's the only way we can truly live a rewarding and productive life. Now let's move on to key area number three. That is to develop healthy relationships. The Bible is full of areas where it speaks about relationships and how to build on them. We need to remember that God wants us to be a part of His family, and we should want to be included in that family. He wants us to learn to work together and get along with each other in peace and love. But to do this takes patience, respect, and hard work to build our relationships with friends and family. We need to learn to work together for good instead of setting out to look after ourselves. Having relationships to encourage and inspire you can be a wonderful aid in helping make wise choices. Everything from choosing your mate to who you'll hang out with can and will affect your life and your decision making. So make sure when choosing people to become close to that you choose wisely, because as we all know, being around the wrong people will affect our judgment and ultimately lead to bad decisions. So what have we learned here today? Well, through the example of Saul that we read about just earlier, we have learned that he didn't seek wisdom, which was key point number one. Instead of choosing to wait for Samuel and his wise counsel, Saul hastily decided to do things his way. And as we read, it cost him dearly. In doing so, Saul didn't obey God's laws, key area number two. He made an unlawful sacrifice with a burnt offering to God. This resulted in Saul forfeiting his kingship over Israel. His relationship with God and his family and friends took a downward spiral as a direct result of these actions and decisions. That's key area number three. Saul ended up depressed. His outcome led to other wrong choices, as I said before, and as I said before, he ended up taking his own life. So, brethren, if we're going to make wise choices in our lives about God, our careers, our spouses, our friends, where we live, and so forth, we need to remember that God must be the guiding factor in all of it. He wants us to learn from our mistakes and determine to change by making wise choices on our own. Sometimes it takes suffering the consequences of poor choices to motivate us to make better ones. So next time you are faced with a choice, remember to seek wisdom, obey God, and have a positive relationships to back all your good decisions.